Good morning, everybody. We're going to go ahead and get this meeting started. I'm Judy Wilkinson, the president of the California Library Users. We're so delighted to have so many people in the room. Everybody just give a shout out and say hello. Well, there's a number of people not here. It looks like being an officer in this organization is, shall we say, lethal. Well, not lethal. It could be problematic because our immediate past president, Jerry Arakawa, is not here today. He had a work schedule change that he couldn't change. Gloria Broderick called just a few days ago, and she's our vice president, and she had some health. Gloria Broderick. Am I talking too fast? I've just come from the exhibit hall room, so I'm sort of, you know, on speed. And our secretary, Ann Kaiser, who now has taken the name of Ann Sylvia. I don't know that that was her maiden name, but that is the name she's gone to now. So our secretary, she signed one set of minutes, Ann Kaiser, and the other set of minutes, Ann Sylvia. So she fell on Tuesday with a big backpack on, and she was walking with her dog, and she tripped over a root, you know, that had come up through the sidewalk, you know, how the trees poke up through the sidewalk. And she fell, took a bad tumble, and she's all right, but her knee is in a brace, and she just didn't feel that, you know, with all the walking and the unknown hotel and stuff, that she would do very well. So she sent not only the minutes, but her regrets at not being here. This is not being broadcast live. Do we know that we are? But it is being broadcast, right? It is being recorded? This one, Bet, it's my understanding that this should be. I'd like to ascertain that. I did too. So, well, it would be on the master. It should be being recorded.
To be archived. I never saw it.
There's been a question whether the convention was archived from the last fall. You know, our technical operations group has been just snowed under with work to get the website. Don't even ask me to go there, but for a little while I was on the technical operations group, and we've gone to a new server, and it's going to be much better, you know, for the council in general, and the ACB also uses the same server. And so in getting over to that server, they have had a lot of work to do, and I know we're backlogged on getting the Blind Californian, I think, online. And I truly don't know. I'd suggest, you know, call the office and ask. I haven't seen it on the web myself, but the best way that I can say is call the office. Hello. Come on in. So what I think we'll do, instead of talking more about who's not here, let's go around the room and find out who is here. So Linda, should I at least pass it around this table first, and then you'll pick it up? Okay, I'm going to pass it to my right and give it to my better half. There you go. Steve.
Yes, I'm Steve Mendelson, and I don't know if I'm Judy's better half, but I'm certainly proud to be associated with her. And when I'm not doing things with her, I read books.
Just pass it around to the next person.
I got it. Katrina McCurdy from the Alameda County chapter. Here's the microphone.
I am Mike Keithley from Mountain View, the Silicon Valley chapter.
Okay,
Hello, I'm Steve Fort, president of Bayer LLC, and worked with Judy through the last couple of years, and very glad to do so. Thank you.
My name is Marlene O'Neill, BRLC Recording Secretary and new member of CLUA.
Yeah, I'm here, and I'm Linda Porrell. Let's see. President San Francisco Chapter, board member BRLC, and CCB students liaison to the CCB board, of which I'm also a member. And I do a few other things. So I'm going to go around and tap everyone on the shoulder and have you introduce yourselves.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Was it working? Okay. Good morning, everyone. My name is Tuan Nguyen. I'm a member of the ACB Capital Chapter and a vice president of CCBS.
Thank you, Tuan. Oh, I forgot to say I'm a new member of CLUA, too. Judy finally wrote me in. So.
Hi, I'm Joan Groves, member-at-large, member of several affiliates, and I've been glad to see CLUA take three steps forward since Judy became president. I've known her for a long time, one of the most capable people I know.
And hello, I'm Charles Dickens with slight allergy, and I'm from Sacramento. And we're here celebrating our 17th anniversary with a wonderful group in the state of California. And for all the hams who are here, my call is November 6th, Echo, Yankee Delta.
Venus Dickens, a member of the Sacramento Capital Chapter.
This is Josie Conklin. I'm from Sacramento, ACB Capital Chapter, retired from Society for the Blind and Teaching Braille.
Diane Phelps from Solano County. It's okay.
Yeah, but you have to almost eat it.
Okay. Diane Phelps from Solano County. I count a few, three times.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
We're good.
We got it, Diane.
All right.
Hello. Okay. I'm Preston Moses. I'm from Alameda County, but I'm also a member of Bayview as well. Hello.
Yeah, good. Okay. This table's all done? Or all right. Next table. I'm going to go over here. Okay.
Yeah. Sam Doherty from San Francisco, and go Giants.
All right, we can, yeah.
I'm Joya Goneku, San Francisco, go Giants. And I'm a new member, totally.
Joy.
Joy Oganeku.
And Joy works at the Braille and Talking Book Library in San Francisco, so she's our go-to girl over there.
I thought they were still talking. I am Lena Bandy, president of California Council of Blind Students, and from Sherman Oaks, California. And under the table is Charity Bandy.
Woof woof.
Thank you. I'm Diane Harms. I'm a member of the Silicon Valley Chapter. And to my left on the floor is my guide dog, Layla. Go Sharks and Giants!
Yeah. We love the Sharks.
I'm Susan Glass, member of the Silicon Valley Chapter. And lying at my feet is my friend, Zeus.
Oh, hi, Susan. All right. Lots of doggies at this table.
Monique McCorley from the San Diego Chapter of California Council of the Blind.
Welcome. That's what you get when you get a medium, low, partial, taking the mic around here.
I'm Gina McGoy from Alameda, and underneath the table here is Hesper Houdini, the huggable hound.
All right.
Maria Mitchell, Bayview chapter when I can make it.
And convention when you can make it.
I'm Terry Coney from Sacramento.
Okay. No, we haven't done this table, right? Okay, all right.
Me first? Okay. Hi, I'm Lori Kastner, member of Kahlua and of Bayview.
And I'm Mike Kastner from Bayview Chapter in Oakland.
He's humble. He's the president, right?
I'm Ron Bateman. I'm from Sacramento, and I'm a Dodger rooter.
Good for you. That's you're forgiven by some of us.
Yeah. I'm Connie Bateman, and I'm a board member of ACB Capital Chapter, and I'm also a board member of the Library Users.
Right. Yay.
And I'm Jeff Tom from Sacramento, and we're a very diverse, non-discriminatory chapter. We even allow Dodger fans in our chapter.
Hi, I'm Pam Metz. And I'm president of, I have to think, president of Greater LA, chair of the domestic violence. I'm board member of which one is this? Kahlua, vice president of GDUC. And my dog is Kingston, and he's the yellow mellow fellow. And I'm an Angels fan. I may be the only Angels fan.
Now, that's another story. All right. Is there a table I missed? All right. Judy, speak to me.
I'm right here.
Okay. All right. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't talk to the gentleman sitting next to me. How did I miss that?
He let me do it, too. Introduce yourself.
Yes, I will. Okay, and I better remember all of the hats that I wear, otherwise the lady sitting next to me will give me a hard time. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is David Jackson. I am a CCB board member. I belong to the San Francisco chapter, the Alameda chapter, and I'm also a member of the Contra Costa chapter. And I think that's all for now.
He's also vice chair of the membership committee. That's why he's a member of so many chapters. He just likes to show off. So.
Hello.
And you are?
I'm Gina McGoy.
Oh, we already did you. And all right, we did the table, and he let me go by. What a... anyway. Yeah. Thank you for the... fabulous we have this many people here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jeff, I'm going to... Are you kind of in a rush? Would you like to go earlier in the agenda? Can I do the minutes first? And Peter's here. And Peter, because Peter has such a tight schedule, I'm going to ask Peter for the treasurer's report.
We'll do the minutes first, and then they're going to get my stuff
together. Okay, we'll do the minutes. Oh, it's our esteemed treasurer. Everybody knows Peter. Everybody knows. Hang on a minute. I'm going to put the mic down and turn the page to the minutes. I was just saying I hate this device, and in a way I love it. It's my former PK, Braille Note PK, and I love the size of the PK, and I love that it's so compact, but I've made it into a Pronto and had to learn a whole new operating system. And while I knew have an updated machine that has SD space and can do Wi-Fi and stuff for less money, you know, I mean, less money than a brand new note taker, but it's a challenge. Excuse me, I'm just going to find these minutes. Okay, this is the fall meeting, California Library Users of America. I'm reading this one-handed, Friday, October 28th, 2011. The meeting was called to order at 10:48 a.m. President Judy Wilkinson. I am pleased to report that, true to President Wilkinson's optimistic prediction. Linda, can I ask you to do me a favor? Could you come hold the mic for me? Oh, thank you. I think she can just sneak in here, but this, I can read this faster if there. Thank you.
She can read with one hand tied behind her back. So.
Judy Wilkinson's optimistic prediction. The business meeting and morning program were held in one of the four salons. Well, this bodes well for the future growth of the affiliate. It feels funny reading this myself. Then followed introductions showing 21 members present. The treasurer's report was presented by Treasurer Pardini. Ending balance was $710. The report was approved as read. Then followed the reading of the minutes from the spring business meeting by Secretary Ann Kaiser. Those were also approved as read. Next followed Rob Turner with a brief update on Bookshare. Bookshare has recently received a $3 million grant from the Office of Special Education Programs, OSEP, with which they will be able to implement some major improvements in services for blind and visually impaired readers. First off, materials from Bookshare will soon be read using a variety of mobile devices, such as Apple products and Android and various note takers. Yay. Also, books in DAISY format will be playable on NLS players, such as the Victor Reader. Eventually, Web Braille subscribers will be able to access books in grade 2 Braille as well. They are also working on a web-based reader with which books can be accessed and read via the cloud. In short, some pretty exciting news from Bookshare. Rob ended his report by giving the contact info for Bookshare. Next followed the president's report. Past President Jerry Arakawa was unable to attend the meeting due to work obligations. Director Pam Metz was also absent in order to chair the AMC morning and luncheon program. Our two luncheon speakers will be discussing Braille production at the Braille Institute. As our delegate to the national organization, President Wilkinson attended all the LUA activities this past summer in Reno. She reported that for some reason our dues were never received by the LUA treasurer, Adam Rusheval. This will be taken care of forthwith. As has been brought up in previous meetings, there exists a certain level of discomfort in regards to our relationship with LUA. LUA board member Peggy Garrett from Texas, who was present at our meeting, promised to make every effort to give our members their money's worth to keep us in the loop and make us feel to be a valued affiliate within the organization. I want to say we're definitely moving in that direction. She also mentioned that the cost of producing the LUA ledger in various formats continues to go up, making it even more essential that dues be paid in a timely manner. The Constitution and Bylaws Committee We'll be meeting after the new year to review proposed and necessary changes. I'll have more to say about that later. Those name attending this meeting, not attending this meeting, I think, will be able to pay annual dues at the exhibit table we're sharing with BRLC. Also, as our membership continues to grow, President Wilkinson will begin rolling out a Kahlua newsletter. Elections. The positions of vice president, treasurer, and one board member were up for grabs. The results were as follows. Vice president, Gloria Broderick. Treasurer, Peter Pardini. Board member, Connie Bateman. All were elected by acclamation. Fundraising. President Wilkinson proposed that we pursue the idea of running the hospitality suite at a future convention. This met with everyone's approval. She also proposed her personal project known as Kahlua Kitchen Cleanup Cloths. These are hand-knitted cloths in three distinct patterns that are both durable and attractive. Those members, like Judy, who enjoy knitting, volunteered to take on this project. The cloths will sell at four each, two for seven, three for ten. We are actually doing it three for ten. Judy will donate the first round of materials and provide materials for those wishing to participate in the project. Rob moved that Kahlua rent a table and sell these cloths at the spring convention. The motion carried unanimously. Other knitters and crafter items, such as hats and scarves, might be available as well. The project then became known as Kahlua Crafts. Finally, it was moved that President Wilkinson and former President Jerry Arakawa continue to serve as delegate and alternate delegate. This also passed unanimously. The meeting was adjourned at 11:52 a.m. Respectfully submitted, Ann Kaiser, Secretary.
Stay, because I've got another set to read.
So those are the minutes. Can we have a motion to... Steve moves that they be accepted. Second. Steve Fort, Stephen Mendelson moved to accept. Steve Fort, see my good guys here, moved to second. Thank you. Now we have a short minutes from a conference call. Oh, we need to vote. Duh. All in favor of accepting the minutes?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Thank you. We have a conference call minutes from Wednesday, March 21st, 2012. Okay. Thank you, Linda, for... The meeting was called to order at 7:34 p.m. by President Judy Wilkinson. All board members were present with the exception of Treasurer Pardini, who had another call to be on. He only has about a million a week. President Wilkinson gave a brief treasurer's update. Dues have been paid to Lua for 2011 and 2012, with $198 remaining in the treasury. We now have 36 members. Board members should soon be receiving a copy of the recently updated constitution and bylaws. They haven't been updated, but we're going to send the board members and the committee members a copy of the Constitution. I just wanted to clarify that. Fundraising. Pam Metz will donate some Audible books on tape for our booth at the spring convention. Oh, well, right. Judy has many hand-knitted items to sell also. Judy will submit an announcement to the Connection and to the CCL advertising them. There will be no lunch speaker this time, but Judy will invite the new director of the San Francisco Subregional Library to speak at the business meeting. Secretary Ann Sylvia will make note of the books mentioned by members at lunch. Judy will assure that those non-computer users will get the newsletter in Braille. Judy proposed looking for Braille chocolate bars to sell on a regular basis. I'll tell you more about that later. Plastic molds can be purchased into which chocolate can be poured. These templates carry various greetings. She will also research good quality chocolate to go into the molds. Sometimes minutes get old fast, you know what I mean? The website, BrailleGifts.com in New York, might offer these products. It will be great to sell the chocolate bars at the national convention. Judy will further pursue the idea. There will be no alternate delegate at the spring convention. We plan to hold another board meeting conference call in early June. The meeting was adjourned at 8:11 p.m. Respectfully submitted, Ann Sylvia, secretary. Those are the minutes. I need a motion. Same duo, moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Abstain? Thank you. We're going to do two things next before I give my president's report, which is actually quite lengthy. You see, I'm campaigning early so that you'll reelect me in the fall, so I want you to have a good president's report. We're going to hear from our treasurer, Peter Pardini, and then I've asked Jeff Tom, who is he and Leslie are both members this year. We're thrilled to have them as new members, to speak with us about some serious issues facing, lest we get too complacent, facing our library services. But first, I cannot thank Peter enough for the help that he has been to me in clearing up the Kahlua records and working with him on the board and seeing the amount of time he spends not only as treasurer, but on other projects. I'm honored that he gives us his time as our treasurer. And Peter, we're ready for your report. Linda, are you coming for the mic? Thank you.
I came to convention to get exercise.
Thank you. California Chapter of Library Users of America, Treasurer's Report for the period October 29, 2011 through April 13, 2012. Beginning balance, $710. We collected membership dues in the amount of $560. We had the following disbursements: speakers' luncheons in the amount of $62 that we paid out. We paid up $50 to the California Council of the Blind for membership dues. We paid out $744 for Lua dues for 2011 and 2012. We had our exhibit table cost us $40. Total disbursements, $896. Our ending balance is $374. And this concludes the treasurer's report.
I was waiting to see if there were any questions for him, but you will get you the mic. I don't think there will be. So.
Thank you, Peter. Marlene has moved and Katrina has seconded to accept the treasurer's report. We accept it, right? We accept it. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. Thank you very much. Now, so that you'll understand part of why we really do need to get our treasury in better shape, we've got maybe some challenges ahead. And I've asked Jeff to come speak to us and talk about a hard worker. I think Jeff maybe works harder now than he had to when he was president. Linda, can I ask you to travel this to Jeff? We're sending it to you.
Thank you. So you're talking about this a couple of times, but I'm going to give you guys a little more detail than I will tonight when I do it at the governmental affairs report. And that is basically the danger we have with respect to funding for the Braille and Talking Book Library. And I have tried to send out little reports on this, but you know, not everybody is on these lists, and I think it's really important, especially for this group, to know what we're facing and to get the word out. So here is the problem, sort of in a nutshell. The governor lined out, which basically means he decided not to accept the legislature's appropriation for some money. I believe the total is like 13 or 14 million. And for various library programs that really have nothing to do with ours, California Library Foundation, which funds some things for, you know, libraries in some low-income areas, and some other things that I quite honestly forget all that they do, although I've heard some of the testimony about them. But they're important things, but they're not important directly to us, except that the money that is used for that those programs basically is used to draw down or to capture federal money for the Braille and Talking Book Library. Now, it doesn't, and I'll get back to this in a minute, but it's my understanding that it doesn't draw down the money immediately. It works a couple of years out. So that the failure to have that money appropriated doesn't have an immediate impact on any money for the Braille and Talking Book Library. But the same money that was zeroed out of last year's or the current year's budget, which we're in the middle of, is also in the governor's budget, not in there for this year. And it is our understanding from both the California Library Association and people we know in the business, that within a year or two, it's very possible that that the failure to appropriate that money can mean the end of the federal funding for the Braille and Talking Book Library, which would essentially mean that, you know, conceivably, Sacramento and San Francisco is the sub-regional, and Fresno, I guess, would, you know, not be operational because they wouldn't have any money to pay the most of their expenses. Because most of the money that they get is federal. A lot of it is not general fund money. So, now just to give you a little more information that goes beyond this, it is... I did hear a little bit about, and I want to explore maybe this summer in Louisville, this information. I understand that there is some kind of a way of potentially getting a waiver of the requirement to have to pay, use state money to get the federal money. But I don't know that to be the case. Federal law, every federal law that deals with federal and state money gets very obscure. And, you know, I happen to know a lot about certain federal laws, but I don't know anything at all hardly about library services money. So one of the things that I intend to do this summer, if need be, if things don't look any better than they do now, is talk to the new NLS commissioner, Ms. Kemminger, and see if, you know, what the law is in this area, because it's all different. However, we can't, you know, we don't want to have to worry about the possibility of the state, you know, applying and getting some sort of waiver. So we are actively working to try and get the money which apparently in our case is $8 million, although I'm not putting a dollar figure on it. Why? And I'll tell you in a minute. We want to get that money back into the budget so that our money is not in jeopardy. So what have we done? Well, first, it's what we have done and what we need to do. I have, on behalf of the organization, written to the director of finance, who it probably won't help much, but I have known for quite some time, and so I did get a letter to her, and at least it got read, which is probably more than some people would have gotten. And so they have at least given a guarantee to look at it when they have the revision to the budget in May. However, having said that, we understand that the revenue projections aren't going very well, so I don't really think that the governor is going to help us too much on this deal. But nonetheless, you have to get it out there. You have to try every avenue you can get. So where are we then? We then are in the process of having the budget passed for this coming year. And the committees are beginning to decide on what they want. And in the coming weeks, the subcommittees in both the Senate and the Assembly in this California are going to be looking at the state library budget. So Thursday is the first, the Senate subcommittee of the budget that is going to hear the library budget. And sometimes dates get changed, but at the moment it's Thursday. And I believe May 2nd is going to be the least tentatively the one for the Assembly. So what we need, and I'm going to, I don't have all the room numbers and because sometimes they change too, and I don't have the committee members, but I will send out when I get back the rosters of the subcommittee members and the entire budget committee. And what we need, if people are close, we obviously need people to testify. And I'm going to say last year we had a tremendous number of people, mostly from my chapter, but we really had a great contingent of people that got up and testified about what the library means to them. And but we also need people to write letters to either their own legislators or to the members of that committee, write letters, emails, phone calls, just to get information in there. And I will be sending out a roster on various, on the CCBL list and on the president's list, and I'll send it out to, you know, certainly Judy will get it and some of the governmental affairs people. So we need to get that information around. And as many of you as possible that can make a phone call or do an email, we need the information to plead for this money, for this money that will match the federal money that we need. Now, we have allies in this. The California Library Association, of course, wants this money for the programs, you know, for the Library Foundation, et cetera, et cetera. They, and that's one of the reasons why I'm not talking much about this whole waiver thing, because obviously the waiver is a last resort, and I don't really want to sort of go against our allies at this point and say, hey, we'll try another way around it, because we want to try and work with them to see if we can get the money. So, and that's another reason why I haven't put a dollar figure on it. I've heard a dollar figure that we need, but I don't want to specify the exact amount because I don't know it. And so, but I think last time was like $13 million. So, you know, whatever figure the Library Association is throwing out there, we're going to go with it for now and hope we get whatever we get. So that, in a nutshell, is what we need. And we just need people to testify, to, you know, to put in those emails and phone calls and to tell them how important the library is to us, that it isn't some kind of an option. And I don't need to really say how important it is here. Every one of you knows that. That's why you're members of this organization. So are there any questions? Okay, well, sure.
Number one, are there any offsetting or collateral, financial implications in terms of matching funds that might be lost to state altogether in other programs because of its failure to come money here? If so, could that be used as an argument?
His question was, are there any other matching funds that might be lost? And as far as I know, I don't think so. I think ours is the real victim of this particular problem. I mean, the direct victims, of course, are the ones that aren't getting state funded. But we're the most direct federal victim, from what I understand. I haven't heard any others come to the front. And I haven't seen that out of the Library Association, but I can look, and I can talk to the Library Association lobbyist to double check on that. All right. Well, I. Uh huh. No, I think Susan is correct, and in fact, in the letter that I, a very lengthy letter that I wrote to the Department of Finance, I took a similar tack, and I honestly think that I don't know of an issue in this organization that doesn't get people more emotional than the library, because of exactly what Susan is getting at. It affects our lives so deeply, all of us, no matter whether we're, you know, whether we're unemployed or we're seniors or we're employed or we're students who are reusing novels from the library because for the reading that they need to do, it just affects everybody in this organization. So I totally agree with you, Susan.
Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
Last year, the when I called assembly people like that, I actually said when I left messages,
well, and your lobbying did what it was supposed to do last year because the legislature did not accept the governor's proposal to take that money out of the budget. Unfortunately, the governor has the authority and exercised it to take the money out anyway. So it's one of those things. We won one battle, but we lost the war. But, you know, in this case, we still have more battles that we get to fight before, you know, the dire results will potentially occur. So, well, yes, it is an election year. Can't hurt any. No, and he's not running again anyway, probably. So we can't do much about the governor. But you know, and it doesn't hurt at all to write the governor, even at this point in time, and underscore the importance of those funds to us. And besides which, my thinking on this is, even though I didn't mention the whole waiver idea, if we get the information out to the administration as to how important this problem is to us, then that's going to put more pressure on them. Let's assume that we lose this particular battle and that the budget and that the money doesn't go back into the budget. It will put more pressure on them to come up with a solution to save the federal funding, even if it's one that isn't the one that the Library Association might like. So we have to, you know, we have to sort of, you know, plan strategically for the future. And if we don't win one way, maybe we'll win another. But if we get the governor listening and we get the, you know, administration listening to our problem, maybe we'll get a solution through the back door later on. So that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, just who asks for the floor? Yes, Peter.
Hey, Peter.
I'm going to deliver my little lecture, and this is not based aimed at Peter. It is not okay to say my voice is loud enough to be heard. We have people in the room with hearing impairments as well as vision impairments, and people need to use the mic. So here we go.
In light of the information that we need to, that Jeff needs to send us, and that we need to contact our people of the Budget and Finance Committee and our legislators, should we, and at the board of, last night's Board of Directors meeting, it was mentioned that special interest affiliates can set up a email distribution list using ccb.net.org. Should we set one up for library users?
Discuss it? Peter so moved that we actually do that, that we set up an official CCB listserv. Jeff, Tom seconds. A Kahlua. What did I say? CCB. Oops. Kahlua. I have an informal list with everybody's email that I have that, you know, when I want to send stuff to you like the newsletter, I just dump it all into that listserv, and that little listserv can work, you know, I can literally get the stuff that Jeff has to get out to us the next, you know, week. But it would be excellent if we could have our own listserv and ask Donna to be put on the list of affiliates that would like to do that. There is one caveat. We need two people to moderate. I would be willing to be one person to moderate, but I would need a... That'd be great, and I'll I think Peter and I can work together on that very well. So, with that in mind, that Peter and I are willing to be the co-moderators, can we? Is there any further discussion? We desperately need this listserv so we can communicate with each other. You know, people don't have to do any. You know, you just need to be aware and stuff. Anyway, so does anyone else want to talk? I've had my chance. Hearing no further discussion, a call for the question then. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? It carries. And thank you so much, Peter. This is upsetting because I did write about this in the Blind Californian last March, the spring issue of 2011. And, you know, it basically said what Jeff said, that these other services were in jeopardy, and that we couldn't just bury our heads in the sand because our own lifeline a couple of years because of matching funds might well be in jeopardy. And, you know, we did think we had dodged that bullet, but obviously we could go back, unfortunately, and read the same article again, and we're in the same fix, if not a little worse, because he already has, the governor has cut the funds this year. I think a lot of people don't maybe join our organization. They love their books, but they sort of feel like, well, I can just download it on the web. It's right there. What's the problem? It doesn't cost anything to download a book on the web. Well, of course, it's not that simple, and I'm going to do my very best. I'll be out of the state during these next hearings, but you can bet I'm going to be doing my share of letter writing, and I'll send to our informal list until we get the other one set up and running. Any information that Jeff sends on to me. Jeff, are you still in the room? Would you mind sending a copy of that letter that you wrote to the, the person at finance, the letter you mentioned? Is that appropriate or would you think about it? Because I'm thinking there might be a lot of interesting history. It might be a good summary of the issues. Think about it. I don't mean to put you on the spot. Yeah. Think about it and you know, yeah, that'd be whatever you decide. If you'd be willing to, that'd be great. Yeah, great. And also, just because Susan mentioned so movingly about her library experience as exemplified for all of us, I just have to reiterate something I mentioned in our newsletter. One of the finest pieces I think I've read in years is going to be in this next issue of the BC, whenever we can get the damn thing out. Lori Kastner, one of our new members, and I'm proud to say a member of my home chapter, Bayview, wrote a fine article about her experiences over the years as a library reader and user, and it's a great article. And Susan, also, I just need to say, find Steve, my husband Steve, sometime today, and you'll be surprised. It's something he has for you. Okay, here's my report. I don't stop long enough sometimes for questions. Does anybody want to say anything, get a word in edgewise before I launch into the next part of my report? I'll go ahead then, and we'll have plenty of time, hopefully. Yes, somebody's...
Your mic stand is here.
Oh, no. That's right. I can... Thank you. I can actually do this one-handed because I'm not reading word for word.
Okay.
This is my third official meeting as your president. I took office, as you know, January of 2011, and I came in with three main goals. A was to grow the affiliate. B was to give folks tangible benefits of belonging. And C was to find secure funding. All three are linked, obviously. Unless we have membership who cares, we can't accomplish our goals. If we don't have funds, we can't carry on projects or have fun. And if people don't have things that are worth joining for, it's hard to make people join something because they're terrified of losing it. We need lots of more reasons and better reasons for people to belong to this affiliate. So for each of these areas, I would like to report to you what I've accomplished, and frankly, what we've accomplished, and what still remains to be accomplished. I, like many people who take office, I had lots of grand ideas about changing the world, and I got stopped pretty fast by just plain nuts and bolts. For instance, of getting our membership rosters in order, finding out people's phone numbers, their email addresses, their street addresses. We had different bits of it in different places. Lua had some of it, we had some of it, and I was bound and determined to get one single compiled roster. And I think we've done that for this year, although we can do better and we must do better. I'm very proud of the fact that we had 26 members in 2011 and we have 36 in 2012. It really doesn't sound like a huge increase in numbers, but it's really, in these times, I think we all should be very proud of that number. I wrote people who were members in 2011. Most of those renewed. I was very pleased. I wrote to people who had been members in the past. I was most successful at the people I could reach via email. I also made a number of telephone calls. And that was somewhat successful. Right now, where we lack ability to follow through is sending stuff through snail mail and in Braille. We have so little money right now that just literally the cost of using somebody's printer, printing out a bunch of letters, putting the stamps on them, getting an assistant to address them, takes money, and I didn't feel that we had it this past year. But this next fall, I really want to make sure that we send everything to you in either email, or if not in Braille, at least in a snail mail form, so that people can feel that, you know, that they've gotten their renewal notice from the organization in some form or other, because we can't keep assuming that we're going to collect all of our membership dues at conventions. That doesn't mean if someone feels compelled to join today, we wouldn't be thrilled. And it's $20, and I'll definitely be walking around and collecting dues after this meeting from anybody who would like to join. Your name won't officially be on the list, you know, that went in on to the office, but the minute I turn your name in, the office has you on file. You're a member of our affiliate, and I will put you in my list of people who gets notices. We've paid our back dues for 2011, and so far as I know, although I'm not sure we've actually heard from Lua for 2012, the problem is not at our end. So we're assuming that everything is well, and that our dues are paid to Lua. As I say, I want to get away from collecting dues at the convention. The goal is to get the notices out by email or snail mail by November 1st so that we can have people pay their dues, say, by the middle of February, so that our roster can really be complete by March 1st, which is the official date that both the national and, I mean, the ACB and the CCB count their membership. When they say, how many members do you have for voting, they usually use that number. Right now, we have no way to send material in Braille, and that really upsets me. If anybody knows of a member, I have one member that I'm thinking of contacting, and if anybody can think of any way that we can just get someone to donate their Braille printer and some Braille time, and then figure out a way, then they'd have to get the stuff back, I guess, and then I could mail it out. But we have 8 or 10 members who at the moment are not in our computer system, which is obviously the easiest way right now. We'd all like our stuff in Braille, but right now that's the easiest and cheapest way to contact people. But we can't leave behind our members who have no other way besides who have no computer access. We'll make this happen even if we get volunteers to call our friends up and read the material to them. So one thing I promised to do and haven't done is to establish a membership committee. And when I think of, you know, what happened because of stuff I was doing, I'm really thinking very positively about what a membership committee can come up with. Pam, who originally agreed to chair that committee, is still willing to do that. And at the moment, we need to find members who would serve on that membership committee. And I will, I always find that if we put it up to the put it out to the floor, it's hard to jump up and volunteer. If anybody would like to stop me afterwards, after I finish this report, I'll say, does anybody want to? But I'm going to then come and twist a few arms. But, you know, I realize that it's hard to step forward at a meeting and volunteer. So, but be assured, we will get that committee going again. And this year, I will promise that I won't let it drop the way I did last year. And also, another carryover, and I didn't know where else to put this, so I've kind of put it under my membership category in my report, is the Constitution and Bylaws Committee. And why do I keep harping on this? First of all, I did review the Constitution, and all of our elections occur in the fall in the South. And not that I don't love the Southern California members, and it's wonderful that there we have so many, but we really need a mechanism to have all of our members be able, for instance, to vote for officers. And this is, again, I want to move away from having to do things at the convention. So we want to find a way to have our Constitution perhaps more accurately reflect that we want to be a viable year-round organization. The three members who were originally on that committee have still agreed to serve. We had to replace one because the person was not actually a renewed member of the organization. But right now, the membership, the Constitution and Bylaws Committee is Stephen Mendelson, Gloria Broderick, our vice president, and Steve Fort. And I will be getting copies of the Constitution to them. And by fall, we may report on it in a newsletter, but officially at the fall convention, we will have a report from that committee. Okay. The second area, as I said, was how do we give people something for their money so that they feel this organization represents them and that they're seeing something that they've gained for their money. The ledger is going to come to all Braille readers in Braille. When the next issue comes out, I know that I have not received a ledger in I don't know how many years. Other people say the same thing, but Carla Rusherfall assures me that everybody will now receive publications and materials from Lua in Braille, unless you're a large print user. She said, well, what formats do people want? And she said, you listed two formats for everybody. And I said, where I listed email and Braille, send Braille. Because if we can have it in Braille, we want it. Well, and as part of keeping in touch, I did send out my first newsletter in early March, and I must say the response has been gratifying. Someone wrote me back and said that they'd never received anything from the library users before. And some people have been, you know, very complimentary, and a number of people have written, and I'm very pleased. And I don't know how often we're going to send this newsletter out, but I plan to do it oftener than not, even if I just tell you very little. There's no reason not to, just to send you updates, for instance, from Jeff. You'll definitely get something from me after the national convention. I'm definitely attending this year, and I will go to every Lua event, and I really hope to record some of them and maybe send you some MP3 files this year. I don't promise that, but I'm going to do my best. So that people will feel that they are connected to us. And again, I'm going to do my very best to move us toward having money to put things in large print and Braille for those who want those. I'm delighted our motion to have the listserv, Peter anticipated me. I had it here to recommend that we do it. And it's wonderful that we're going to move in that direction. We also now, I don't know why I didn't do this sooner. We have a conference call number that 99 people can participate. The trouble is it's not a toll-free number. It's a number that you dial in and put in a code and then you get on the call. But now at least we have a way, if we need to meet with the organization and ask for your input on various issues. We would do that only by, having contacted you first, but I just want to offer, and once we get our listserv, this will be even better, but we now have that as a vehicle too, that we can talk to each other by conference call. So I feel we're making some progress. We need to do more. We need people to just wonder why on earth for instance, at today's luncheon, we are, going to take down the names of the books that people mention, and all Lua members, and because we co-host with our friends at BRLC, we'll make this available to Mike if he would like to put it into the next. My mind is blanking on the name of the BRLC publication, the Braille Writer. So I'll say, Mike is the editor, isn't he now? Yeah. I said I'll send this list that we collect today to Mike as well, and if he wants to publish it for the BRLC. Many of you belong to both, but some, you know, BRLC should have it as well. Now we come to fundraising. We are crippled by lack of funds. I had an amazing conversation with Winifred Downing a couple of weeks ago, and she said, you know, in the old days, we'd pass the hat, and maybe we'd pay for a speaker's luncheon, and, you know, maybe we'd raise $5 to, you know, donate to something or other, but we never felt we needed any money, and our dues covered it. Well, you know, times change, and I feel that we need to really become dedicated to expanding our treasury, which gives us some power. I would very much like to be one of those people that goes up to the front of the room and hands over a check to the state. And, you know, we're an affiliate of the state. We need to do our share not only for our efforts, but we need to help the state with its efforts. We can't do that without money. So out of, and I just want to say that the crafts idea was sort of a desperation measure. I knew I had done a lot of backup. I had planned to give certain articles of knitting to a different charity, and I thought, well, here's a chance maybe that we can do something for the California library users. I knew I had quite a bit of inventory, if you will. And so I thought, let's try this. I'm not sure we'll do it again. I'm proud to say we've raised enough money already this morning before I left to come to this meeting to pay for our table, plus a little over. So, you know, that's not too bad. But I, frankly, you know, not sure how much we'll really realize from this effort. And I'm not sure whether I think we need to see the results before the board makes any further decisions about whether we want to do this again. So I hate to leave you in the air about whether this is, you know, a fundraiser, the Crafts, Kahlua Crafts, it has a nice ring to it, is something we'll do again. I think we'll need to reassess after we think of the amount of time and efforts that were spent here. So that is not going to be good enough for a long-term effort. In trying to find something that would be fun and unique and ours, I mean, we can only ask Katrina to make so much fudge, and BRLC has already co-opted her. And it's difficult going to our own members to raise money. But I came across this chocolate bar idea. And I have been trying to track down the organization. I first met them at, I think, the national organization last summer. I met a woman from New York who was selling these chocolate bars, and I thought it was a great idea. And I was just recently at an organization which gave out little presents as a chocolate bar. The Ski for Light organization gave us chocolate bars as a little present that said thank you. Some said thank you, and some said have a nice day. And I wrote to the person who handled that, and she said, you know, there are places where you can buy these molds. And, you know, the basic molds, I found a place that has 6 messages, you know. Each mold, you can make 2 chocolate bars of about 4 ounces each. So I've, not at the organization's expense, but it just for the fun of it, I've ordered these molds. It's not much money. If I think this is viable, and what we really need to find is a good quality chocolate, because frankly, the quality of the chocolate in the bars that I was able to sample were not of a quality. People might buy them once for a joke, but they wouldn't say, oh my God, I'm going to start giving this good quality chocolate bar to my friends every Christmas with a Braille message. We want something where people will come back again and again and say, I wouldn't think of giving my friends happy birthday greetings in any other way but these fabulously delicious chocolate bars. So I'm still researching this. and don't have any other good, I don't have a handle on it. We certainly don't, I'm certainly not going to be ready to take these to the national, as I was really hoping. I was hoping to have some here for you today, and then we would take them, you know, we would go public at the national. But to tell you the honest to God truth, I haven't found a good, I was hoping Ghirardelli was going to bail me out, because we have a Ghirardelli outlet right in San Leandro. They don't sell bulk chocolate. So I'm still looking for a quality source of, well, the thing is, we were thinking we want something, well, I'll be glad to investigate. I mean, C's is an idea I had as well. But I was thinking more of trying to get a mold that had something really unique, like I Heart Books or Reading Rocks. Wouldn't that be fun to have? Not just holiday messages, but live, you know, something that would be ours. Yes. Yes. Yes, Albert. Just one second, Albert. We're going to get you the mic. And we might as well stop and discuss this, because what the heck? I have a little more to say, but this is the time.
Yeah, you're coming up to 12 o'clock. You need a fundraising committee. Judy's doing all this work herself. Okay, good. Wait a second. Here we go, Albert.
With respect to chocolates, I hear these commercials about this Lenz chocolate and some of these other type of chocolates that I wonder if there's a way you can go, or people, like I said, with a fundraising committee or others, to go online and search out some of these good quality chocolates and then find a way where you can maybe get them in some sort of a bulk supply. But, you know, some kind of a really nice, because I'm sure there's some really nice, dark, I mean, world's famous chocolates and seeds, that's okay. But I'm thinking, we want, like you said, we want to have people really come back and say, oh, this is some of the greatest chocolate I've ever had. And, you know, we want to buy this. So, and then with the like you said, I Heart Books and Reading Rocks, that's a great idea, too. I really like that.
This is Linda. I'm going to take the prerogative of having the microphone to say that we're not going to be able to charge a dollar for quality chocolate, and that needs to be considered as well.
Can I have a sense, do people think this is worth pursuing, this whole kind of chocolate fundraising idea as a permanent? And I will see if I can get a fundraising committee. Would anybody like right now to let me know that they'd like to be on the fundraising committee? See, don't all speak. Albert, great. Okay, I'm going to put you on the committee, and then I'm going to twist some arms, okay? Who was that? Preston?
Did I hear you?
Okay.
I'll continue on. I think I was on the original.
Will you too? Okay, I got three. Preston and Steve Fort. That's great. Albert Contreras, Preston Moses, and Steve Fort are... Kahlua membership is $20. $20. What a bargain. What a bargain. Yes, but you're a member this year, Albert. Yeah, you are. See, but you're one of those people whose computer isn't working.
You're the same thing you did, Albert.
Steve was all ready to pay his dues twice too. Anyway, you guys, that we all went a little longer than we meant. I'm also just got to tell you that we've appointed a nominating committee for the fall, headed by Jerry Arakawa, and the three people who will be up for election in the fall are myself as president, Ann Sylvia, a secretary and board position that Pam Metz now holds. And all three have said, you know, that they would be willing to run again. And I think that's good. I think that's it. Thank you so much, everybody. Stay for lunch and talk about your favorite books. Woohoo! Good afternoon. Welcome to one of the best lunch groups in town. I don't know what the menu is. Somebody says is it lasagna? Cheese lasagna. Well, come on now, everybody cheer. This is the combined luncheon of the California Library Users and the BRLC. I'm Judy Wilkinson, the president of the California Library Users, and I'll turn the microphone over in a minute to Steve Fort, my co-host, who is the esteemed president of BRLC. We're delighted to have you with us. We're basically going to let you eat your lunch in peace for a little while, and rather than go around the room now, we're going to go around the room starting once everybody sort of got their entree and as long as we can kind of keep the noise level down, and ask you to tell us just in 30 seconds to 45 seconds one of your favorite books that you've read in the last year. And if you got it somewhere other than NLS, you need to tell us that. That's how we'll find out who's with us in the room. And then there's a couple of things we're going to be doing first. David is going to share something funny with us, this being National Poetry Month. David Mundell and Rob Turner, who's shared with BRLC, is going to say a few words about Bookshare, one of our favorite sources of reading materials. So let me hand the mic now to Steve for his welcoming of you.
Hello, this is Steve Fort, and it's my honor and pleasure to be, on behalf of BRLC, to be a co-host for this luncheon. And every year every convention, conference and convention, we collect for the Braille Challenge. And John Ross, our treasurer, will be coming around later for those of you who want to donate to the Braille Challenge. So, again, welcome, and thank all of you for coming. And I'm going to turn the mic back to our Kahlua president, Judy Wilkinson.
Before we go much further, I'm going to take the mic to Rob Turner to say a few words about Bookshare, because I'm dying to hear what's new at Bookshare. I didn't go to the BRLC meeting this morning. Where are you, Rob?
Right over here.
I passed you up. I'm coming toward you. Do we have any sighted people in the room? Nothing against blind people, but... Is that Connie? Hello again. Do you hear me on a mic? I'm taking it now back to Rob, who's going to say a few words to us. Where are you, Rob?
Right over here.
Oh, here you go.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody. There's quite a lot going on at Bookshare. One of the projects that I'm quite excited about. Now, I don't want to get you guys too excited about it yet because it's still in the beta phase, but we are going to be producing initially MP3 audio files for our books. No, they will be read with a voice called the Avona synthesized speech. Avona, that's a very high quality voice. And so we have a beta right now, and I don't want to encourage too many of you to try it quite yet, but I mean, some can. It's available. So anyway, eventually what will happen is these will become DAISY audio, meaning that all the navigation will be available, whenever the book has chapter navigation or navigation by sections, and so forth. So they'll be playable on the NLS digital talking book machine. The MP3 files can be played on the NLS machine too. But anyway, and then the final phase, which is the one I'm looking forward to, is the full Daisy text, Daisy audio. And what that will mean is you will be able to listen to the book with the Yvonne voice, but also search for specific character strings, spell words. Now, the words will be spelled in the voice of your player's built-in speech. So you'll be switching between the Yvonne voice and then your whatever. Of course, that won't work on the NLS machine. They'll never handle the Daisy text part. But anyway, so that's a pretty exciting project. Our Read2Go app for the iPhone continues to improve. Using Read2Go, using VoiceOver, it's quite accessible. And with the iPhone's Braille translation capability, I'm able to read Daisy books now in grade 2 Braille. So that means that not only do I get the grade 2 Braille, but I also get the Daisy navigation capability. Two other things. We have our Go Read app, which has just been released for the Android market, and that's designed for the visually impaired. I'm not an expert on that by any stretch of the imagination, but I encourage anyone who's got an Android phone, they're welcome to give that a try. Another app that's out there in the Android marketplace is one called the Darwin Reader, and that will work on other Daisy platforms as well. So there's getting to be more alternatives for reading our books. Our membership is up to approximately 185,000. So we continue to grow. The number of publishers submitting books to Bookshare continues to increase. I think we're up to at least 130 now, and it's probably more like 150, but I've kind of lost track. If you're interested in knowing exactly which publishers are contributing, you can go to the Bookshare homepage, bookshare.org, and you can click on the publishers link, and there'll be a list of publishers that are working with us. We're also busy because we're in the middle of preparation for the next Office of Special Education Programs funding cycle. So we're working on a proposal for the next 5 years, and so that's taking time. And that's about all I can think of at the moment. So do we have time for any questions, Judy, or shall I just... No, okay, so I'm going to... Very good. All right, that's the kind of president... That's the kind of president I like, one that comes right out with the response. Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, Rob.
David, you're up next. How much time do you need?
No, about 3 minutes.
I mean, next up, as I promised you, in honor of National Poetry Month, we have a rendering from our member of Kahlua, David Mundell. And I must say, David got his copy of the ledger, whereas many of us other Kahlua members didn't. So, David, the mic is coming.
There it is.
Good afternoon, everybody. This poem, it's a parody, as you'll soon hear. It's called Nevermore, A Farewell to Cassette Books. And so, do you all know it? Have you all heard it? Okay, all right. Okay, I didn't want to bore you. Okay. Oh, Maria. Okay, Nevermore. I can read it to you later, Maria. Nevermore, A Farewell to Cassette Books by Wendy Eisenberg. It appeared in the Lua Ledger summer 2011, but it was reprinted from the Fresno Talking Book Library newsletter, so it comes from California. Okay. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I listened weak and weary to many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly I heard a tapping, as of something gently snapping from my player's core. 'Tis the tape, I sadly muttered, as a quiet curse I swore, just the tape and nothing more. Ah, distinctly I remember it was in the bleak December as I, in a fit of temper, threw that tape upon the floor. So many times my player failed me. With frustration it had ailed me. Many new ones they had mailed me, saying, "This one's good for sure." But each time I'd pressed that button, it seemed that it was all for nothing. "Would I ever find that something lets me listen," I implored, "to my books forevermore?" Eagerly I wished for morrow, for perhaps surcease of sorrow would come with the next tape I would borrow, without hiss or pop or roar, without stop or twist or tangle. Maybe it would play me more. Dare I hope that I could someday hear a book straight through once more, one day sit, relax, and listen, find my reading joy restored by a book forevermore? I woke next morning after dreaming, in my room the sunlight streaming, tried again to play that tape I'd thrown upon the floor. Then I heard a quiet tapping, as of someone gently rapping. 'Twas the postal carrier tapping, tapping on my dwelling's door. "Friend," he said with smile of greeting, "this is such a merry meeting, for I bring the gift of reading, reading that is now restored by digital books forevermore." I took the package that he gave me. Could this package truly save me from the anguished cries I made when my books would play nevermore? I opened up the package, beaming. Inside, a black machine was gleaming, and a small white cartridge, seeming much too small one book to hold. But I put that cartridge in it, and within a single minute, I knew that this machine would win it, win my heart forevermore, and cassette tapes nevermore!
Judy? Okay, thanks.
All right, friends and neighbors, because we are, you know, we've got a lot of people in the room and we want to hear about a lot of books. Steve, do you think your stream is working now? Do you think it could work? No. The microphone is working and we're going to start our discussion of books. I think we can do this while the servers are serving evermore. And while the servers are serving, service... Okay, well, we're hoping to get to make sure this is recording so that we can get a list out to our members of the books that you all, anybody who belongs to BRLC and California Library Users, we should be able to send you a list of the books that are going. So I'm going to give you, be thinking of your books, and we're going to start in about 5 minutes. Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Make sure it's... Let's go. Okay, we're going to start now because, you know, hey, time is getting away from us. I'll start. I think everybody should read the Jane Linscold series Through Wolf's Eyes. It's a fantasy series where a woman basically thinks she's a wolf. And I know that... lest you think I'm a serious English teacher, this is some of my favorite rubbish. The author's name is Jane Linscold, Linscold, and the first book is called Through Wolf's Eyes. And I'm going to start by passing it to Marlene. We'll go this way.
She caught me with lasagna in my mouth. Well, this is something that seems strange, but I love
say
to...
your name.
Marlene. Okay. And... my doctor said I had to learn how to cook really healthy, and I love to cook. So my last book that I read was the Moosewood Cookbook, and it's a really good cookbook. But I do other ones, too, but that's one I read, just, and it came from NLS.
Hello, this is Steve Fort, and I would like to mention a couple of books that I've read in the past few months or so. The first one being Little Girl Blue, The Life of Karen Carpenter by Randy M. Schmidt. And it's an NLS book. And it's kind of explanatory. It's a for those who knew and remember Karen Carpenter, and even for those who were just learning about her, it's really a an engaging read. And the other book that I want to mention, I became interested in this because I listened to the testimony of the Warren Jeffs going on trial. He was the fundamentalist leader of the sect, a polygamous sect, FLDS, and Elisa Walt, Elisa W-A-L-L Wall, is a the subtitle. First, the title of the book is called "Stolen Innocence," and the subtitle is "My Story of Growing Up in a Polygamous Sect, Becoming a Teenage Bride, and Surviving Warren Jeffs," who was the leader. And okay. Read by, well, anyway, I'll hand this out.
Right. No problem. This is David again, and I just read a book of collect. It's called Collected Stories by one of the most prolific British mystery writers around now, Ruth Rendell. And I think her psychological insight is fantastic, and I would recommend it. Collected Stories by Ruth Rendell.
Good afternoon. This is Sylvia Reese, and I'm new to this group, and I'm new to being blind. So my biggest Braille book I've actually read cover to cover is called Braille in Brief by Bernard Krebs.
My name's Lucinda Talkington from Woodland, and this is my first time at this luncheon, and I'm a guest of Sylvia. And the book that I'm reading right now is IQ84, and it's a Japanese book, Japanese author in Japan, and she's a serial killer, but she does it in protecting bad people. She's just pretty bad. But it's also sci-fi. So it's with a lot of little people in there. And it's a very long book, and you can go to sleep with it.
Yeah, sure.
IQ84.
Jimmy Carter wrote one novel called... Jimmy Carter, the ex-president, wrote a book called Hornet's Nest about the American Revolution in the South, Georgia, North and South Carolina, and Florida. And it's pretty good. It's a good novel. It's the only novel he's written so far. Here we go.
Steve Mendelson, I'm going to recommend Let the Great World Spin by McCann. It's an event set in New York in 1973, focusing around people whose lives are caught up in the events of the day that Philip Pettit walked between the two towers. And from the standpoint of a lifelong New Yorker, it captures the scope of New York so accurately for that time and place. It's remarkable.
I'm going to cheat. I'm going to underline Steve's recommendation. It's great. Let the Great World Spin. Now my book. Cutting for Stone by Abraham Verghese. Fabulous, fabulous book. It's set in Ethiopia and New York. It's about the tragic story of these twin boys born in very unusual circumstances, raised by two caring, loving, and amazing doctors from India, who then have a very interesting young adult life as well. And it's set against a backdrop of revolution, all kinds of stuff. And it's just an amazingly wonderful book.
This is David. I'm trying to think because I read all the time, and I'm trying to think of what I can suggest. I guess the the book that I can suggest would be a series, a three-part series called Worldwide Wake. I think that's what it is. And there are three books in that series. And just a quick overview, a girl gets a chance to be able to see, but is overtaken by the web. And I'll let you guys figure the rest out.
This is Peter Pardini, and the current book that I'm reading is The Adventures of English. Basically, it's a history of English by Merlene Bragg, and I'm reading this. It's an Audible book.
Adrian. Okay. Name is Pete Romero. I just read a book on from Bard called Water for Elephants by a woman named Sarah Gruen. Great story about a kid who, through unusual circumstances, finds himself homeless and hopping on a train and what happens living with the circus. A very interesting book. The only problem is I woke my wife up on no less than four occasions because it was so funny. I laughed out loud. I could not help it. It was a great book. Thank you. Here, Albert.
Okay. I have a problem where for many years I haven't read books, read a lot of magazines. However, 2 years ago I had a problem with a hip infection, so I had gotten my digital player for the first time, so I reread one of my all-time favorite books, and it, which is The Moon is a Harsh Mistress by Robert Heinlein. Just a tremendous, tremendous book. And although I would like to get the original version of the book that was read by Robert Donnelly. Roy Avers did a good job, but the Robert Donnelly version is way above. I just love the way he read it. So, and if anyone knows where you can get those recordings, if they've made it available, I would love to get that version. Anyway, that's my book.
Hi, I'm Linda O'Neill, and I just got through reading a short story collection by J.A. Conrath, K-O-N-R-A-T-H, and it's a Bard book. Unfortunately, I didn't write the DB number down, but it's called These Guns for Hire, and it's all about different hitmen and how they take care of and they kind of take care of their situations that they've been hired for, and so it was read by Ray Fouché, and anything that he reads is wonderful. Thank you.
I think we'll go with I am Maria Mitchell, and I have been for these many years. So my recommendation is with Stieg Larsson's, actually it's a trilogy, but The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and so on. There you have a lot of fascinating things. I mean, you have your mysteries with where the lady disappeared. You have a solving of a serial killer. You have also the society's failure to protect some young woman, well, child really, just because she was an inconvenience, and all of the things that followed from that, and her being institutionalized simply because she insisted on trying to protect her own parents. It's really quite an amazing set of books, and I do recommend them highly. So that's Stieg Larsson. Gina. S-T-I-G-L-A-R-S-E. Yes. Gina?
Okay. Do I hold the microphone?
Yes, you do.
Okay. All right. My book that I'm recommending is the book Sarah's Key. And I don't know the name. I've got the name of the author. Thank you. And the narrator is wonderful too. She reads it really well, and it's a heart-wrenching book. the author, or not the author, but the main character also weaves her story throughout the novel. And I won't give anything away, but if you can handle heart-wrenching heavy books, read Sarah's Key. I will have to...
The author is Tatiana Duraznay. And it's also been made into a movie, and it's sort of a World War II Holocaust story. Wonderful, yeah. Wonderful, wonderful. Sarah's Key. Fabulous book.
Sally, would you like to go next? Sorry, mid-bite.
Hi, I'm Sally McGuire, and I really enjoyed reading Somerset Maugham's Razor's Edge this year. I thought he did just an excellent job. I don't like to say anything bad about some of our current authors, but he said he looked over it at the end, and he didn't think he really left anything out. He did the best he could, and he really did. He told it in the first person, which was interesting, and he was even in the book himself, which I thought very interesting. I thought it was just very well written.
Well, I certainly read a long book and a very good one, Shogun, James Clavell, Bookshare book. 998 print pages. It's about an Englishman who basically ends up sort of being stranded in Japan, and it's all about his adventures and about the adventures of his crew, and you learn a lot about the Japanese culture, and it's sort of really defining the political situation in Japan and all about their society. And it was just an amazing book. I don't know that it's available from NLS. I'm surprised it's not a... It is. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Alice McGrath. And the book I just finished reading, it's called The House on Riverton. And the author is... I think her first name is Sarah, but the last name is Morton, like salt. Is the way I remember it. and it takes place in the early 1900s. And it's the best way I describe it is like an upstairs, downstairs that takes place in England. It's about the story of a servant girl who goes and works with a family. And then later on, what you're doing is you're actually hearing the story through the woman who is the servant girl, who is older now, and she's looking back on her interaction with the family. And I found myself talking later on with a British accent because the reader is so good. I don't know who she is, but she has a wonderful way of reading the book.
You guys, we have nearly 30 people or so.
This is Susan Glass, and the book that I would like to recommend is A Suitable Boy by Vikram Seth. It is a bard book. It is narrated by David Hartley Margolin, and he always does such a wonderful job with voices and character. This takes place in India in the 1940s and 50s. The part of the plot that the title comes from is that a Hindu mother is searching for a suitable boy for her daughter Lata to marry, but there are lots of other things that go on in here, political intrigues and religious conflicts, and I'm not going to talk anymore because I know I have to pass this on. A Suitable Boy.
Okay. This is Diane Harms, and I haven't really had a lot of time to read in the past year because I've been very busy with work, but the book I'm reading right now, currently reading, is Rainmaker by John Grisham. And I like his books, and so I'm enjoying that. He's passes the bar exam and becomes a lawyer, but I won't give anything else away. It's a good book. Rainmaker. Here you go, Lena. Is that your name?
Yeah. I'm Lena Bandy, and I have read so many books, it's hard to choose. And one of my favorite books that I've recently read is Lightning by Dean Koontz. And it's related to, like, destiny versus free will and that kind of thing, and time. It's a sci-fi, psychological, a lot of different aspects to it. It's, for me, it's just a fascinating book.
Hi, it's Joy Oganeku, and the book that I can think of reading most recently that stands out is a nonfiction called Charlie Chan, The Untold Story of the Honorable Detective and American History. And it's a fast, coming from Hawaii, Charlie Chan is based on a real Chinese detective at the turn of the 20th century who never carried a gun but carried a whip. So if you like history and culture and whips, it's a fascinating read. I learned a lot about, you know, where I grew up.
Okay. I like animal books, and that's the latest one I read was Dewey Nine Lives. And I don't know who the author is, but it's all about cats.
Hi, my name is Anita March, and the latest book that I really enjoyed, which is really light reading, but it's Nicholas Sparks' latest, his 2011, and it's on the download, and it's called The Best of Me. And what's wonderful about it is he tells such a great story, and it's his latest, and it's really someone who gives of himself, and it's just really a great book.
Hi, I'm Charles Dickens, and the one book actually now that we're reading is called Behind Closed Doors. Excuse me, I got allergies here, and it's a very good book. It's about all the country entertainers, and it's well done. The author went and had all his interviews with each one of the artists, and I don't remember the author or the reader. I just download them and read them.
Here you go. I'm Venus Dickens, and if you're a baseball fan like I am. We read a couple of them, but one is that I found really interesting, and I believe it's called the World Series 1912. It's a real interesting book, and it's by Mike, and I can't remember his last name, but it's really interesting. It tells about the $1 million muff and they would go days. They didn't have they didn't have six games. They would, you know, because they anyway.
I'd like to share a book. It was called Sunday Nights at 7 by Joan Benny. And it's a very good book. It's about the life of Jack Benny and his wife and Mary Living and the family and George Burns and many of those radio. And I thought, and I read it some time back. It was a very interesting book.
Thank you. Hello. Your turn. Would you like to share your turn?
Sure. So sometimes the books that... this is Jeff Tomlin. Sometimes the books that stand out most are the ones you don't want people to read. So I read an autobiography of Jim Nance, for you sports fans, who I never particularly liked anyway. And after the book was over, I decided I really didn't like Jim Nance.
Well, you saved us a lot of trouble there.
I cannot top that. This is Bonnie Rennie, and I've read so many, but the one I will say is, it's a long title, Girls Like Us, Carole King, Joni Mitchell, Carly Simon, The Journey of a Generation. It's a very self-explanatory book. If you're a baby boomer, if you like music, it's probably a chick book, but it really, of all the books I read, was my favorite.
I'm reading currently, this is Nancy Shaw, and I'm reading a great book. I have no idea who wrote it or who was talking.
What's the name of the book?
I don't know.
Nancy. Nancy Shaw.
That was Nancy Shaw, and I'm Gigi DeMarie, and I'm looking forward to reading. I love John Grisham, and I just saw an interview. He was on a book tour. And it's a little departure, but one of his passions is baseball. And so the book is Calico Joe, and he's on tour with it right now, and I can't wait to get a hold of it.
This is Kat Abbey, and the last book that I really enjoyed reading was The Lost Symbol by Dan Brown. It was very intriguing, and I could not put it down. So, and it's not an it probably maybe an NLS book, but that, I got it on CDs and listened. So, I recommend it.
Hi, everybody. This is Pam Metz, and okay, I have to tell you, there's a lot of books I can't tell you what I read, but I just read The Help, and by what's her name? Catherine Stoggett, and that was amazing. And I laughed straight through it, and I will never eat a chocolate pie again.
Hi, this is Joan Groves, and I normally read fiction, but recently I read a biography which got me intrigued. It was Wallace Stegner and the American West. It's by a Philip Franken. It's a story of his life. He grows up extremely poor, eventually becomes a professor at Stanford. But a lot of it has to do with his conflict between his teaching and wanting to write and the way you have to balance those things, which I'm sure a lot of you can appreciate. one little incident, in the 70s, he has great conflicts at Stanford because they're going through all this hippie movement and all this stuff. And because he grew up poor, he can't stand to see them burning buildings and trashing the place, and he says it makes it look like the South Bronx. And then he has a conflict with Ken Kesey because Ken Kesey says you should write about what you don't know, and Stegner firmly believes you should write about what you know. So it brings out a lot of these different aspects. In the latter part of his life, he lived in Los Altos Hills, which isn't very far from here. He happened to die in Santa Fe, New Mexico, in an automobile accident, and the word that came out at the time is he refused to yield, just as he didn't yield in a lot of his life. I would recommend it even for people who don't like biographies, because that's my usual stance.
Okay, Susan? Okay, my name is Susan Hyatt, and I can't remember the exact title of the book, but it was by Cokie Roberts. And she wrote a book on, it's about the president wives of Abigail Adams, one of the daughters of Jefferson, and then there was Madison, and talked about Dolly Madison and all that she did and how they influenced the early part of the country. Also talked about John Quincy Adams' wife, Lucille, and had a bunch of others that I can't remember, and they also included other women that were not in politics of the day. It was very interesting. I don't remember the title. That's the problem. When I get a book, I either remember the title, don't remember the author, or remember what the book is about, but can't remember the
So there's only 5 more people to go.
Okay. This is Connie Bateman. Okay. This is Connie Bateman from Sacramento, and I always enjoy reading books from the number one latest detective agency. I'm blanking on the author. Is it McCall Smith?
Yes.
Okay. Alexander McCall Smith, and it's about this lady detective and her assistant and how they solve cases in Botswana, Africa. It's really kind of humorous and delightful, so I would recommend that.
I'm Ron Bateman. I don't remember the author, but I just finished the biography of Paul Newman. He was nominated for Academy Awards 9 times, and he won a couple. The author was writing his biography when Paul Newman died, so he managed to put everything in it. The only thing the author was kind of sad about is he requested many times to have an interview with Paul Newman, but he was refused.
This is Roger Peterson, and I don't read books. I haven't read a book for a long time, but I wanted to tell you that, and I don't have a good excuse, but anyway, you just have to take me the way I am. But I did want to tell you, I went through a period of reading a lot of Steinbeck, and one of the books I read that moved me a lot was Of Mice and Men. And in a couple of weeks in Palo Alto at Theater Works, they're going to have an audio-described stage play of Mice and Men, which I understand was actually adapted for the stage by Steinbeck. And I'm looking forward to it.
This is Bernice Kandarian, and I haven't read much for a long time either. As some of you know, my sister Janelle, who lives in Reno, has been in the hospital since November 10th. So my sister Tammy and I have been doing a lot of reading of the Medicare handbook.
Wow, how can I top that one? This is Marlena Lieberg, and I'm happy to be part of this luncheon. And I read voraciously, and I don't know what to tell you about. So I'm going to quickly name 3 books with 2 authors. The first one is Until Tuesday. If you love animal books, it's fabulous. I got it on Audible. I can't tell you the author's name because it's long and I forget. The second 2 are by the same author, Jeffrey Archer. The first one in the series is Cain and Abel. The second one is The Prodigal Daughter. And if you, and there may be others in the series, I don't know, but if you like books where, you know, there's the rich and the poor, the good and the bad, the intrigue, one guy's trying to do another guy in, and especially The Prodigal Daughter, the first woman president of the United States, read those books. They're great. Thanks.
Okay, that's it.
Hi. Hello, I'm Vita Zavoli, and the book I would recommend is Still Life by Joy Fielding. She writes psychological fiction. I really love it. I love psychological fiction.
We ended the alphabet with Zavoli, which seems very appropriate. And we let Marlena have 3 books because she's our wonderful visiting guest from the national organization, and we'll be hearing more from her. And Steve and I want to thank you so much for being so attentive and so kind, and happy reading. Oh, 1 second, please. Peter has announcements to make. He probably wants us to come to other meals.
Yes, I do. We have tickets available for the President's Dinner tonight. The Guy Doug Users Luncheons, OCB Luncheon, and the Banquet. But let's be sure we check out, let's support Kahlua and check out the crafts table in the exhibit room. And also, if you there's a few people that I need to collect meal tickets from. So if you could please raise your hand. That's it. It'll be at 5 o'clock, 5 to 9. But I'd suggest if you're going tomorrow, Go early, because a lot of times if there's no business, exhibitors leave.
Thanks, Peter.
You're welcome.